We're talking with Brent Rundell from Northeastern Oklahoma. Brent, you were telling the folks here at this canola educational session today that you're obviously a diversified crop farmer, but you're interested in each of those crops being able to kind of carry their weight.
That's right. I mean, the whole reason we're in this game is not yield. It's profit. And we have to, at the end of the day, look at each crop and say, is this the right decision? Now, I know there are other decisions outside of that as far as rotations go, but realistically, at the end of the day, it's about the profit.
And you've got quite a rotation you got going.
That's right. I grow wheat and canola and grain sorghum and corn and soybeans, both as a single crop and as a double crop behind wheat. And, you know, we're blessed in Northeast Oklahoma with good rainfalls and a lot milder weather than out west. But that said, we all struggle the same. So, you know, the aphids don't know that my sorghum is in Ottawa County and not in Texas County.
Yeah. And you made the decision a few years ago that you wanted to have canola in that rotation.
Absolutely. You know, looking at it, it was one of those things that was going to improve my overall operation. And it's not just about canola versus wheat, because I still grow wheat. It's really about what impact that canola has on my corn, on my soybeans, on my grain sorghum, and on my wheat. And realistically, when you look at it as a whole system approach, it really makes a nice fit. I was asked recently about canola, and what we came to was, It's really a cover crop that I can sell at the end of the day.
I know that, you know, when we start thinking about folks that are trying to do a diversified rotation, that's pretty hard in a lot of Oklahoma, isn't it?
It is a challenge, and I certainly recognize that. But, you know, if we keep doing the same things we've always done, we're going to get the same results. Now, if you're happy with your current results, then by all means, continue doing what you've done. But, you know, me personally, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. So I want to introduce some other levels of diversity into it. And whether it be a crop or a new tillage method or a non-tillage method, that's the things we have to be looking at as farmers, no matter where we're at.
I know that there's a lot of folks out there that are really embracing the soil health concept and cover crops, no-till, low-till. Are you doing some of those elements in your operation?
You know, there's certain pieces of it that have a fit and others that don't. Now, that doesn't keep me from looking. I do incorporate some no-till methods, but by no means am I a no-tiller. We are too wet in the spring and too cool in the spring when we need to be planting our crops. So we use tillage as a method. That said, I don't till because I like tillage. I till because that's the current thing I've figured out to solve the problem that I'm trying to address. But realistically, now that wheat is in the situation that it's in, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be planting as much wheat this fall as what I normally would. Well, I can't leave that ground sit open all winter long. And that's going to introduce cover crops into my rotation. And it's something I haven't done, but it's something that I recognize I need to add.
When you say situation, you're talking about, obviously, the current low price, the glut of wheat we've got globally.
That's right. You know, the cure for low prices is low prices. And, you know, what the market is telling us is, as a planet, we have to produce less wheat. Well, I'm going to help contribute to that. I'm going to plant less wheat. And, you know, If I could wave a magic wand and every wheat producer would plant 10% less wheat than he planted last year, everything would be good. But I don't have a magic wand. So,
I mean, we don't have the old farm program that had the set-asides.
That's right. If we had set-asides and old parity programs, life would be good. But that's not the reality we've got. We deal with the programs we've got and with the global economy we've got. Now, that said, a number of years back, I swore up and down, was telling everyone, I'm never planting wheat again. Well, that August, wheat futures went to $8 a bushel, and I planted every acre of wheat that I could possibly put into the ground. A miracle could happen. We could once again return to a futures price above $5. But realistically, if the futures price for wheat stays below $5, that means that I'm going to have to plant wheat as a cover crop for my soybeans. And so that's what we're looking at.
Circle back around the canola real quickly. You said that canola maybe is your easiest crop to market because there's a pretty obvious time to sell it.
That's right. We have the benefit of growing canola in an area where we harvest when basically the processors don't have a very large pool of canola on hand. So they need to keep that plant fed with an influx of grain. And so as a result, late May, early June, the canola prices tend to peak for that year. So we have a really good marketing opportunity here right when we have a good assurance that, yes, we've got a crop, or right after we've harvested. It's one of the few crops that we have where we happen to be harvesting right at the time the processors are, their bins are empty.
One last question, Brent. You're chair of the Oilseed Commission. What are the two or three things that you're most interested that you've been able to get accomplished at this point that you're involved in right now in helping folks that are contributing to that commission budget?
You know, we've been able to put out presentations such as the one we're at today and help sponsor the variety trials around the state. The main thing we've got to do is keep the crop moving forward and keep promoting it and keep researching. It's so new that we just really have to look at it. And here in a couple of days, we're going to sit down and put together our list of projects that we're going to fund for 2017. So 2017 for the commission is starting now. And we're really looking forward to providing various researchers around Oklahoma with some funding to help them give the farmers the answers they need to make this crop work.